Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey, entrepreneurship and leadership, they are linked together. In fact, I love the two topics. I have today my guest, Dr. Kevin Kramer. How are you doing today, Kevin?
I'm great, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Hey, listen, I love leadership. I did a doctorate in it. It's fascinating. John Maxwell is a mentor, but you know, there's a phrase that says that everything rises and falls on leadership. And I know that you are a dentist. We're going to learn about your journey, but why did you infuse leadership into your brand and business? Tell us why.
Oh, because it's so important, you know, and managing is one thing, but leading people is a whole nother thing. And it's something that we develop and grow over time. You know, some of us have more natural tendencies for leadership, but ultimately we're all continuing to become better and better leaders as we go through our career.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I know a lot of people don't think of themselves as leaders. In fact, they hear about the term leader and these days, maybe they're like, oh, I don't want to be in the spotlight. I don't want to be a leader. But are we all in some ways a leader, first leading ourselves, but then some of us maybe leading kids or family? What do you think?
You know, absolutely. I mean, I talk about that in the book coming out on accountability is so much of who we become is, you know, what we feed our mind. And that often is who our peer groups are and who our role models. And those role models in the early stages are our parents. And then we become parents and we're leading our kids. And nobody gives us a manual on that, on, you know, how to be a great parent. But even before that, as kids, we see in the playground, we start interacting with others and doing some level of leadership in sports and games that we play. So it's everywhere.
That makes sense. What is your book called, by the way? What's the title?
It's called Quantum Accountability.
Oh, wow. Oh, I like that. I like quantum in general, but accountability, that's not something that some people enjoy, but I think it's essential. In fact, it's part of our core values, really. Why did you pick that word?
So I think that, you know, when we look at leadership, it starts with accountability or ownership of who we are, is we have to take responsibility for our actions and our successes in life. And that starts with our mindset. It starts with what we feed our minds. And we know from what we feed our bodies, what happens to our physical body if we eat junk food all the time. Mm. And in today's day, with our access to the internet and social media and what's happening with AI, we have so much information that we're inundated with streaming movies and content. We have to really decide, what are we going to feed our minds? So not only is it, you know, what we're watching, what we're listening to, podcasts, content that's enriching versus just a random, you know, movie series, but who are we hanging out with? Who are our peer groups? Who are our mentors? And that's what leadership is about. It's about first leading yourself and taking accountability for your actions and then going out there and impacting the world by who you align and spend your time with.
That's so good. Well, listen, the book looks beautiful and I know it's coming out pretty soon here, but I like what you're saying. Yeah, Jocko talks about that total, what is it, ownership? Is that his book title?
Extreme Ownership. Yeah.
Ownership, Extreme Ownership. Yeah. Yeah. And talk to me though about your entrepreneurial journey. So obviously you're in this room leading many, many people. If you're just listening to audio, I mean, I'm literally showing kevinkramer.com and he's got another great website called kramerleadership.com and that's K-R-E-M-E-R. But you know, I'm sure you didn't just start leading huge rooms of people. Where did your entrepreneurial journey start?
So it's always this question, you know, I'm a dentist and am I an entrepreneur in the field of dentistry versus am I a dentist that has some entrepreneurial tendencies? And I think as you know, we're entrepreneurs, you know, there's something in our blood and our DNA. And I happen to be in the field of dentistry. And as I developed, you know, like we all do, we perfect our craft and it starts with where we are, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to get better and better at what we do. And then it starts to get noticed and people reach out and say, hey, that's pretty cool. I want to play in your sandbox, right? And so then you have others that start asking for help, and then you start helping and mentoring people. And that's where the leadership comes in. So as you grow, the outreach grows. And so it becomes an issue, or not an issue, but how can we impact more people? And it becomes about impact. And, you know, you've got with Igniting Souls. I mean, I love that name too. It's like, it's about the impact that we can provide to the world with what we know, right? Because we're all essentially, as entrepreneurs, we're here to help people move along in their craft. And it doesn't mean that we are like all knowing in all areas, but in our area of focus, it's like, hey, we might be able to have some impact and help others become a better version of themselves.
I'm looking at your bio. It's pretty impressive. I'm sure there was people around you though, that pretty much said, Kevin, why don't you just chill? Why don't you just, you know, build your own thing? Why are you trying to keep, you know, just be content. I mean, you hear this a lot when you're an entrepreneur of just, yeah, just chill, just sit down. But why do you think you wanted to keep impacting and growing?
Gosh, you know, that's such a, it's something we could talk all day about, right? You know, is that we're essentially if overachieving is a bad thing, we are our own worst enemies, in the sense that we have this drive, we have this ambition where we want to continue to grow. And it's that mindset, you know, it's that mindset continuum where we're not fixed. We're not in a scarcity or victim of, oh, poor me. I can't believe this happened. This is like, we want to grow and we want to create a world or a life of abundance. And so it's all about having this belief system that this life is a journey. It's a path for us to continue to improve and be the best version of ourselves.
Wow. So
that's why, you know,
who's attracted you these days? I mean, are you still actually practicing on patients, or are you now more kind of the expert for other dentists?
So I still see patients. It's fun and it's very impactful. I've got a group of practices and doctors, and I now just do full mouth implant reconstructions. And we have the technology where we are able to make teeth in the same day. So we are 3D imaging and designing on CAD and 3D printing a new set of teeth for people. So they come in the morning, we sedate them, do the surgery, and then they leave 6 hours later with new teeth. And it's just, it's so transformational from a dental or surgical perspective that I still do that 5 days a month. So I'm still practicing 5 days a month, about 60 days a year, but the rest of the time I'm focusing on leadership and mentoring people.
How long did it used to take, like when you first started as a dentist? Now it's the same day, but what were we talking about?
Oh my gosh. I just had a patient who was in last week, and we did that 19 years ago. And we were talking about that on Thursday, and it's just so much different. I mean, the workflow now with the digital technology, that would have taken me 8 to 10 months now that I could do in 6 hours. And then we don't have same day teeth be the permanent set. We then let things heal and tissue settle. Then at 3-4 months, we build a permanent or a final set. But still, what we can do in a single day is just remarkable.
So this is like somebody's at a party, they bite into something, and what, their bridge or whatever, I don't even know these things, but their tooth could like fall out, and that's the type of tooth that you fix? Or is it?
Well, this is actually for people who either already are missing all of their teeth, or their teeth are so debilitated that they have to have them all taken out. So if they have lots of infection or disease decay in their teeth, then we'll go in a single day, remove their teeth, clean up infection, place the implants, 3D image, design new teeth, print the teeth, and put them in that day.
Wow. So that's pretty impressive. All right. So 60 days a year, you're doing that. But then the other days are what? Who's your ideal person in the room? These are entire teams, dental teams, or is it just the dentists, or what are you doing?
So, you know, there's value. Like, I think, as you understand, the industry specific type of peers and mentors, and then also the non-industry, like if we're in an entrepreneurial group with people from all sorts of different industries, we can learn from each other and pull from, because, you know, so much of really valuable things are an outlier and almost comes from on the fringe or the outside of the industry. So I actually have, a local mastermind group that is of all different entrepreneurs from many different industries.
Wow.
And then I have dental specific things as well. So for me, I'm, you know, I'm not so much about consulting a dental practice. I mean, I can make a dental practice and help someone get from, you know, A to B with exponential growth. It's more about the person, though. It's more about either the doctor or the business owner on them really looking at their level of abundance in their whole life. And so when we talk about your career, you know, sometimes an entrepreneur is your personal life, are your relationships, is your physical health suffering because you're so driven in the purpose side. So finding that balance is really where I see my niche being.
Oh, that's so good. Wow. So I look at these topics, they sound so exciting. Accountability, choices, mindset, relationships, change, vision. There is the type of person out there, I certainly was one of them, that in the beginning of my journey, I didn't think I had much power. In other words, there is this victim mindset of somebody who's like, well, you know, I work at this company and my boss won't let me do this, or the industry won't let me do that. And you do kind of stay in this state of, I call it bed, blame, excuses, denial. And do you see people in your rooms that are at all different phases? Are they stuck, some of them?
Absolutely. And you know, technically, if we look at it, we're all stuck in at that level. Like, we all are where we are because of the choices we've made and the mindset. And whether we call that stuck or not, we all are at the level that we're currently at based upon our past decisions and the choices and who we've spent time with and those decisions. So that really, that's what the book goes back to. It all starts with our mindset and our thinking and our thought processes in what I call this quantum awareness model, where if we build the mindset and the accountability for that, and we own that we're responsible for that, then that determines the actions we take in life, the doing. So we focus on who we are and then what we choose to do, the choices, the decisions, the action, then it determines our level of abundance. And that's where we can really be our highest self or our best version of ourself in this life. So it goes from accountability to action to abundance in this awareness model that I talk about. So
that's fascinating. So what do you hope happens, you know, with this book? I mean, to me, it almost sounds like pairing with Atomic Habits, you know, quantum accountability. I mean, it really seems like almost two steps right there. But what do you hope happens with the book?
You know, I think one of my greatest mentors was Wayne Dyer. Okay. And that was, of course, back in the day where, you know, he went on public television and spoke to audiences. But why he was a mentor is because of his impact. And he went from psychology to a little bit of more of a spiritual side, where it's all about not just our mindset, but ultimately it's who we are as a being, where, you know, ultimately if we're like spiritual beings in a skin suit having a human experience, then what is that ultimate reality of that we're living right now, and how can we be that best version of ourselves? And so for me, it's about whatever my role is in this life and how I can contribute, how I can give, and how I can help, that's what's important to me.
Mm. Where are you at? Are you out of Florida?
I'm actually in Northern California.
Northern California. Wow.
North of Sacramento.
Okay. So Northern California. And I see you have some webinars, you have some classes. Can people access this from all over? Do you do a lot of traveling and speaking? Are people coming to you? How does that all look?
both. Yeah, people ask me to go and speak at different conferences. I do that to a certain extent, but I don't, you know, like to be a road warrior. Sure. So I do calls with people, and then we have stuff locally here as well. My website, kevincramer.com/book, people can request access, leave an email for, early access and when it comes out, or they can reach out to me via the website and contact. So
I love it. That's great. So you mentioned Wayne Dyer. What got you into this dental thing? Because I think it is fascinating how people get into the industry, whatever path they take. But do kids just wake up and say, I want to be a dentist? How did that happen for you?
You know, it's no, you don't just wake up and say you want to be a dentist. And I knew that, like, as a kid, I loved animals, and I loved my mom was a painter. And so the blend of the artistic side of crafting something and then the science behind it, I was more of a biology type person.
Ooh, that's
so cool. So dentistry is what I navigated to after I was looking at veterinary medicine. I was looking at architecture as far as creative design. And then my dad's was a dentist. And it wasn't until I left home and went away to college that I was looking at the different fields and thought, actually, I might really enjoy dentistry because you get to help people. And also you get to run a business and control your hours and be an employer. And so I really found value in that. And I went into dentistry, and it's been an interesting thing, because you look at a field like this where people don't, they don't want to come see you. A lot of people have a high fear, and they go to the dentist because they have to, not because they want to. And so I struggled with that. So I actually almost dropped out of dental school and I almost went into philosophy and is this going to fill me up? Mm. You know, and what I realized, I talk about this in the book, is that it wasn't until I shifted my mindset and the meaning I was giving to things and how I realized I could really have an impact in this profession and helping people, that I saw the value. And I ended up loving being a dentist. And I really enjoy the interactions I have with the patients and then with our teams. And so, yeah. And now my daughter is a dentist and has followed in those footsteps as well. So it can be a really rewarding profession.
That's fascinating. Well, maybe we'll land the plane around this, because we connected over IP, intellectual property. And it's very clear as I go to your website that there's a lot of IP. There's processes and systems and charts and graphs, and maybe even it's called the Kramer way. But what got you thinking of IP? I know that for me, I just kind of happens naturally as well. But I know some people really have a self-limiting belief, like, could I even create intellectual property? What makes me special? To me, if you're creating value, IP comes naturally. But was that a shift that happened to you? Or when did IP started kind of rolling out of you?
It's that creative side, and you know, the value in having thinking time where you really, I'm a person that likes to, it may be an introvert by nature, where I like to be left alone in a room and just to think and process. And when that creative side comes out, it's like, oh, this is cool.
Yes.
And at first, like anything we do in that early stage where it's like that little voice in our head, who we listen to in our mindset, right? That one voice says, this is stupid. Are you, what are you thinking? This is, people are going to think this is dumb. And then it's that courage, right? And that ability to take risks and go, no, I really like this. And then you go with that gut or that intuition that I think this is cool. I'm going to go with it. And you know what, if it doesn't work out and you fall flat on your face, that's fine. But from the IP side, it's like, as you develop ideas and things come up, it starts to build a list, and then it starts to go, wow, there's some stuff here that actually is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then it develops from there.
It fascinates me. I mean, two of my clients, you know them, Shannon Waller and Steven Nooner, and this other guy named Ryan Kaysen, they were all on the call this morning creating content around their book, and it was pieces. You know, and we were able to bring it together as a model. But once it's clear as a model, now it's packageable and now it can spread. When it's just concepts all over the place, it's very tough for word of mouth to even talk about it. But we have a friend named Chad Jenkins who says, name the baby. So they created that today. They named the baby, but you literally named it. It's right in your background, but it's Kramer Leadership Institute. Maybe, you know, as we close today, what is the goal of Kramer Leadership Institute?
So, I took the KLI from that, Kramer Leadership Institute, and then the tagline is knowing, leading, and inspiring. So mm-hmm. I think the goal is in the progression of a career or as a person, we start out when we're younger and we gain knowledge, okay? Yep. Whether it's traditionally through a university setting or now via online content, that's not necessarily as required. So we have to take accountability there on gaining knowledge and wanting to have that growth mindset and learning. And that's the knowing. And then from that, we can start to help. We can start to reach out and lead others. Mm. And after you lead others, then you start to see the results of that. And that's where the inspiration or the inspiring comes in.
Ah, that's so good. Yes. And there's your values. Makes a ton of sense now. Well, listen, Kevin, this is fantastic. I know that your book, Quantum Accountability, that's one I'm going to definitely read. It fits right in line with a lot of the other authors that I like, but I've never heard that quite like that before. So we're putting links in KramerLeadership.com and KevinKramer.com. And the book, ideally, the month that it comes out,
we're looking at September.
September 2024. So if you're listening to this podcast, it's after that date, go right over to Amazon. Anywhere books are sold, you can grab it there. If not, put your name in the list. Go over to its website, put your name in, and you'll be the first to know. Well, Kevin, thanks so much for being here today and adding a ton of value to the audience.
Thank you, Carrie. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Take care, friends. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.